gets a touch.
But he helps out.
DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the King's Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com.
Welcome to the King's Court. This is your host, Joe Morgan. Going ahead and introducing my co-hosts. From left to right, we have Vince Miracle, the shortest center in the history of peewee basketball. How's it going today, Vince?
Well, before we did this show, you said you were going to call me the shortest center in the NBA. I wish you would have just stuck with that one. But what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the King's Court Podcast. Thanks, Joe, for hosting now.
Yeah, we're going to try some new stuff around here. I'm going to be the main host so that you guys can answer questions. And I can ask them because I like asking the questions. I like being the boss around here. Know your role, Vince. Know your role. My other co-host, introducing John Schifferle. Not that I'm really introducing him, just saying hi again. It's not like everybody doesn't already know who he is. John, welcome to the program. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. How are you?
Better than I deserve. Always better than I deserve. So let's get right into it. We got a limited amount of time today, and we want to cover the entire game the other day, as well as some roster decisions that are going to be made for the future. So let's go ahead and get you guys' thoughts on them. And starting it off, man, let's just break it down piece by piece. Let's start with the rookies and see what you guys thought. They had a rough night. It did not look good for the Kings rookies. But what were you guys' takeaways? I'll start with you, John. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, on the positive end, I would say that Papi Giannis and Scala both looked like they were in much better shape. Papi Giannis had definitely slimmed down, and Scal looked like he was maybe a little more built than he was in the summer league. So that was good, but both of them just looked way overwhelmed in any minutes they got. And then Malachi, I would say, looked a little bit better than them, but all of them just looked a little overwhelmed. And I mean, maybe it will go away throughout the preseason, but I think all three of them could use some time in the D League and a lot more time in practice. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I can see a lot of D-League action this year. It's good that they have the same. Nothing against Dave Arsenault, but it's really good that they moved to a coach that's going to coach the exact same as Jaeger down there in Reno. So, Vince, what were your thoughts?
I mean, I feel a little bit differently. I don't think Scal should be a guy that goes to the D-League this year. I'm just one of those guys that thinks that Scal has the potential to become something in this league faster than a guy like Papi Giannis. I do agree with you, though. I think Papi Giannis did look like he lost quite a bit of weight. I don't think I really saw the 10-pound gain that Scal said when he was on the show a couple of weeks back that he had. But I will say this. I think Papi Giannis looked way more comfortable in his preseason debut than he did during the summer league the entire time he was there. Yeah, he struggled the entire time. I mean, he could not hold on to the basketball to save his life. Every time he tried to set a screen, it looked like the point guard was just moving him out of the way, so he definitely needs to build some muscle there. But he at least was trying, and he wasn't going to a post move for 4 hours and then turning around and doing something, although he did do that little nice little turn and got the dunk for his first 2 points as a Sacramento King. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, I'm not blown away by these performances. I will say this, you know what you're getting with Malachi Richardson. I think Richardson came in there and was a relentless shooter and just chucked up the ball. He shot 4 times, made 2 of them. You're going to get nights where he's going to be hot. You're going to get nights where he's going to be cold. But I think the majority of the time, if you're going to see him shoot, it's going to be in the D League this year.
Like you guys both kind of hinted at, I think Papa G and Malachi are both going to be in Reno. I would like to see Scal stay on board, though. I think he can really advance. The fact that he stayed all the way from Summer League until now, he's never left Sacramento since the draft. He's been working his butt off. I'm really impressed with him, and I hope the Kings decide to keep him up here and work him into the roster at some point. Moving on to all the other characters down the bench, we got Patterson. He got the least amount of minutes with 11. What were you guys' thoughts on how Patterson played the other night?
I'll say that I didn't really even know that he was on the floor at times. I mean, he was. I don't think he was put into a place where any plays were ran for him. And if he's trying to make this Kings roster, he has to show a little bit more. But I don't know what really to expect from Patterson. Is he going to be used as like another ball handle on the floor to set up other players? Because if that's the case, he needs to be around different types of players than he was when he was on the floor for his 11 minutes during Tuesday night against the Lakers. So I'll say it was it was Patterson on the floor for 11 minutes. I didn't think anything of it, to be honest with you.
Well, and of the players on the floor, he was the I'm trying to look at the plus minuses here. I think he was the second worst with a negative 24, which well, I'll let John go. But John, what were your thoughts on Patterson's play?
You know, I was kind of disappointed that he only got 11 minutes. To me, when you looked at the second unit last night, which we can talk about a little more later, but they clearly needed someone more than just Lawson to be a ball handler and try and run the offense. And to me, that's what Patterson can bring next to Lawson. I wouldn't expect him to get major minutes in the rotation, whether or not he makes the team. But he seems like a good guy to have towards the end of the bench that kind of knows what he's doing with the ball in his hands. He's pretty big. I think he's 6'5". So, I mean, he gives us size, he gives us ball handling, and he plays not really well on the defensive end. But last year for Atlanta, he played pretty well. So, yeah, last night he seemed to disappear a little bit, but I'd like to see him get some more extended looks in the preseason to see what he's got.
Yeah, I wouldn't call last night an all-star appearance. So either way, Patterson, again, negative 24, not very and that's a weird number. Saying plus and minus is obviously it has to do with the roster you're around, but either way. Moving on to McLemore, how did Ben look? I think he had more confidence than last year. He took a handful of shots. He looked pretty decent. I mean, his shot wasn't falling. He looked behind on offense. He always looked a little bit slow. But again, confidence. That's better than we've seen out of him over the last couple of years. But again, let's start with Vince. What were your thoughts on him?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't really go straight to the confidence. I think it was just good to see him start shooting. But his confidence last year started wearing down when he wasn't knocking down his shots through the regular season. I think Ben McLemore is that guy that every offseason you're going to hear just a bunch of talk about how much of a work rat he is, how much the coaching staff is loving what he's doing in the gym and how much he's working. The only way Ben McLemore's stock rises, in my opinion, at least from a personal value, and I think also on this team value, is if he starts knocking down jump shots. And right now he's just not doing it. I mean, yeah, it was good to see that when he was playing, he took 10 shots and he was not afraid to shoot the basketball. But at the same time, you can counter that by saying he only made 3 of them. So it was a bittersweet performance from Ben McLemore. And I want to start seeing that shot go down as the preseason games continue.
John, what were your thoughts on Ben McLemore?
You know, personally, I'll have to disagree with Vince a little bit in the sense that for the last couple of years, it seems like the next step for Ben has always been taking more shots. And he hasn't been able to take that step. He's always disappeared in the offense. And last night, he was involved. The shots didn't go down, and I don't know if I love all the shots that he took, but I think step one is getting him to just take them, because we've seen so many times over the last few years that he has an open shot or he has an open lane and he's just too afraid to take it. And so step one is getting him to take them. Step two is working him into the correct spots and saying, all right, now let's work on taking good shots. So it's going to be finding a balance between what he used to do and what he did yesterday. But, I mean, the preseason is all about just, you know, working on what you don't do well. And for all we know, Ben may have been told, you know, when you get the ball, you got to look for your own shot. And that may not be the way he's going to play during the regular season, but I think it's good for him to get a lot of shots up in the preseason and see what he has.
No, I agree with you, definitely. My thing is, though, about Ben is that I don't think it was really a confidence issue. I think it was, for last season at least, it was a misplace in what his role actually was. You saw him trying to be passive, try to put the ball on the floor a little bit more. And I just don't think that's his game. His game is to put down jumpers and just take those jumpers when he's open. Like you said, I think he needs to start learning how to take more jump shots and being more involved in the offense. My only issue is I don't think the confidence was a problem. I think he was trying to do a little too much, because if you think 2 seasons ago when Michael Malone was here is when he started, everyone was starting to look at Ben McLemore, okay, this is the year. This is going to be his third year in. Let's see what he can do. Disappointing. And then with George Karl, that whole situation happened. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think taking the shots is what he needs to do. I just want him to know what his role is, and I want to start seeing him knock down those shots. If he's going to be taking 10 to 15 shots a game, that'd be great for a guy like Ben McLemore. He needs to find it within the offense and not do too much. And that's my biggest issue with Ben McLemore. His value needs to rise when his shots start dropping.
John, any counter to that?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me on that is just I'd wonder how much of this was, you know, like when we saw in the summer league them trying to run the offense through Willie, where you sort of knew no matter, even if he dominated the summer league like that, that just wasn't going to happen in the regular season. DeMarcus was going to be our number one. Rudy would likely be, you know, either number two or maybe number three behind Collison. But it's something that they would run to see how he can do in limited minutes going forward. So I could see them maybe just asking Ben to do that for a development thing. It could also be Ben, you know, just not picking his shots well. So it'll be something to watch going forward. I'd imagine as we get further into the preseason, if that is the game plan where he's just trying to get them up to get experience, then that'll probably lessen going forward. But we'll just have to see where their actual plan is.
All right, moving on from Ben, everybody's definitely taken their thoughts on that guy, because every year we hear about his potential, and every year it hasn't really panned out yet. So let's see how that works out as the future.
That's not true.
Winds up.
I mean, that second year with Ben or Michael Malone, people thought you saw signs of what he can be. He was knocking down jumpers, and I believe, John, I think you showed this to me 2 weeks ago, is that Ben led the team in 3-point percentage. I think just two seasons ago and possibly even last season. So it's not that his potential isn't showing. It's that I think he needs stability with this franchise. I mean, you can't knock him for that. You got to knock the franchise for that. But it's just he needs to start knocking down jumpers now. You're not with Michael Malone anymore. You don't have Chris Gent developing you anymore. So now you have to start finding that new coach that's going to put him in the right spot. It's great to hear that the new coaching staff is falling in love with Ben McLemore, but you already start hearing that every offseason about him. So now it's up to Ben McLemore to be an NBA player and start knocking down jumpers and know his role. And that's his issue, is he needs to know his role and what he's supposed to be doing when he's on the basketball floor.
Right on. Well, we're running long. We got to get through this whole roster, and we only have a set amount of time. So let's move on. Anthony Tolliver, actually McLemore and him both got 15 minutes. Tolliver did all the things that he's supposed to do that aren't on a stat sheet. His shooting wasn't very good, but he was setting up good screens. He was moving without the ball. He was always in the right spot. What do you expect to see from him in the future, long-term with this team? So, John?
You know, this is nothing against Tolliver, but ideally you'd like to see things go really well with Scal and have him start to take over a lot of Tolliver's minutes, so... You know, again, that's not anything against him. It's just that's how his career's been. He's a fill-in guy that can space the floor and provide some good energy at both forward spots. But, you know, I would like to see him get as few minutes as possible, not because I thought Scal looked great last night, but because I would like for Scal to get better over the season. And so I think he's going to start the year probably around 15 to 20 minutes, providing all the things we talked about, just playing a smart game. And hopefully that decreases over the year. But he looked good last night.
Definitely. All right, Vince, thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of echo the same thing that John just said. It wasn't a stellar performance by any means, but you know exactly what you're going to get with Tolliver. He's going to come out there. He's going to hustle. He's going to shoot a wide-open shot and most likely knock it down. What he's in there for is the veteran leadership, but I do agree with John that this is preseason. I want to see some of these other guys that probably won't get minutes throughout the regular season to kind of start developing in this NBA pace. And I think a guy like Scal would be better suited to be in that spot. Or even, I mean, the way they were using Tolliver, they had him in so many different sets that I wish I would have seen Caspi in better areas than he was and in better lineups than what he was for a majority of the night. But we'll get to Caspi in just a minute.
Actually, we'll move there right now. So, Vince, you know how I feel about Caspi. John, you might not yet, but I think I'm an energy guy. So Caspi, hell, AC last year was probably my favorite with it. But Omri and him would come out on the floor, and you could just tell other guys would move faster around him in a synergy kind of way. You know, if one guy's hustling, everybody else tends to hustle. You know what you're getting out of Omri, but at the same time, he sure didn't take too many three-pointers last night. He got 16 minutes and only took 2 3-point shots. He did take a lot of 2-point shots. I mean, he was shooting a lot, but not nearly as much from three as I'd like to see. So, Vince, what are your thoughts there? What would you like to see him do differently?
I don't want to see him do anything differently. He was on the attack during the preseason. My biggest issue was the fact that he was put in a play, or he was placed in lineups that weren't going to succeed. I mean, you had him with Papianis, and you had Papianis Scal on the floor with him at one time, with Temple and at times lost him. But that second unit was just terrible. And then they didn't really know what they were going to do for points. They even tried to put Caspi down on the post, and that just doesn't work. Then they try to use him in pick-and-roll situations. That's not what his game is. His game is to basically have Cousins in the post, throw it to him to the other side of the corner, and then he does that wacky, like, Euro step offhand floater that always goes in somehow, and it's ugly looking. But
sorcery, brother, sorcery.
that's Caspi's game, or knocking down the wide open jumper, and he was just put in a position where he couldn't succeed last night. So definitely, and there were times where he did when they actually had Cousins on the floor and they went on that little bit of a run in the second quarter. I thought that was pretty nice, but it was just one of those games where I think you're going to see a better side of Caspi, and this just wasn't the games that you're going to look back on and say, oh yeah, remember when Caspi played in that game and he only shot 2 for 7? I mean, preseason, but I'm just saying. The film, he's not really going to look at it and see any issues.
Well, it is an exhibition match, and to echo John from earlier, it's not how it's probably going to be run during the regular season. This is definitely a breakdown of their individual skills, not a concept of, you know, again, this isn't the roster, this isn't the way it's going to go in the future. They're not going to have a lot of times where all three rookies are on the floor at the same time, you know, other than preseason. So, John, what were your thoughts on Caspi last night?
You know, I'd have to agree that he may not have been in best role for him. And I'd also wonder if it might be a better look for the team to run out with a guy like Caspi in the starting lineup and put someone like Rudy playing more with that second unit that had trouble, again, with creating their own offense. They moved without the ball well. They seemed to move the ball well when they had it, but no one could actually get anything going. So I'd wonder if maybe Caspi would be a really good fit with DeMarcus in the high post, someone to kick out to on the perimeter, and Rudy Gay being a really good fit on that second unit, someone that can score for himself and get looks for others. So, I mean, that was something that I was thinking about. Not that you would make Caspi the starter and bring Gay off the bench, but maybe you sub Gay out a little earlier and then move him back in later.
Definitely a rotation. I mean, I think Jaeger right now is just feeling out the guys and how they're going to work well together. So, yeah, that's definitely something we could see during the season. Now, again, we're kind of running short on time for the first segment here, so let's get through the bench guys. Willie Cauley-Stein during the summer league didn't look good, but, of course, again, echoing you guys' sentiments from earlier, it's because he was put in a weird position trying to be the main guy, and that just isn't how it's going to be in the regular season. So what were your thoughts on him the other night? He played 19 minutes, didn't shoot much. What did you see from
him? You know, Willie definitely looked a lot better than he looked in the summer league, and I think that role was a little more suited for him. He's going to have some adjustments on offense, but the big thing I'm looking for with him is defense. I thought it was curious that they started with Kufis out there. I think that Cauley-Stein's a much better fit next to DeMarcus, but you know, we'll just have to see going forward. I saw some good things, but it was also not the greatest night he's ever had.
It wasn't the worst night for Willie Cauley-Stein. I think he did a subpar night. It was one of those things where he came in there and did what he was supposed to do. He definitely looked better than he did when he was in summer league. And I think you're going to continuously see him trend to get better as the preseason games continue. But, yeah, it was questionable. I did not expect to see a Kufis-Cousins starting lineup to start the game and then to have Willie come off the bench. I mean, the only thing that popped in my head was that, you know, Kufis did play with Jaeger when he was in Memphis. So he knows the system a little bit. But, John, I'll throw this back to you. Do you think that could be a lineup moving forward? Because we do know how Memphis ran that two big man set with Zebo and Gasol. And I'm guessing they're looking at Kufis and saying, hey, you can go do a post move or something. Like, do you think Kufis can win the starting job moving into the regular season? Or do you think it's Willie Cauley-Stein's position to lose?
For that reason that you actually just brought up, I may even wonder if you'd rather have him coming off the bench just to have someone on the bench with that experience, because DeMarcus seemed to handle the high post really well last night. So, you know, not that they'd both be running it at the same time, but you may want more experience in both sides. So DeMarcus knows how to run it well in the starting lineup. Kufis knows how to run it well for the second unit. I don't know if the high post really suits Kufis that well, but that may be an interesting thing to watch.
Moving on to Ty Lawson. That's probably the biggest question mark a lot of Kings fans had in the offseason. What did you guys think of him? Did he give you guys that warm, fuzzy, good old Ty Lawson feeling, or that tire fire from last year?
It was one of those performances where you just saw Ty Lawson and you weren't blown away by anything. But I think that second unit was so bad that you didn't know what to expect. And I think John will agree with me on that. That second unit was terrible on the floor together. And I think that he needed a second ball handler out there. I think that he tried to bring some of the drive and dish to the second unit, and it just wasn't working. They were trying to go to the high post, and that wasn't good for what their second unit. Like Caspi, I think Lawson was put in a place where he couldn't succeed. I will say this, though, is that that lineup that I brought up before, where I believe it was Lawson, Temple, Caspi, it was either Willie Cauley-Stein or Tolliver. I can't remember off the top of my head, and Cousins. I mean, that worked for a little bit, and you saw him have a couple nice backdoor passes for a layup, but I think he needs to show more in preseason game number 2 or 3.
Well, you definitely hit it on the head. He had a rough lineup around him a couple different times. But either way, just evaluating him, John, what did you see?
You know, he played off the ball more than I thought he would have, which was kind of odd to me. But overall, I think he was decent. He's definitely not, or he wasn't last night who he was in Denver, but I would say a large improvement over what he was in Houston. So I think he could be a backup. I don't see any reason not to, and Farmar didn't play, so I don't know how stiff the competition is right now.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Farmar brings, and I know everyone's like, oh, it's going to be Lawson as the starter, and oh, after seeing Temple's performance, when we get to him, oh, he can't run the starting unit, it's going to come down to Lawson. And after seeing last night's performance, I agree with you. I think he could be a good backup, but yeah, it was weird seeing him off the ball a lot more than you'd expect him to see him off the ball, being that you're looking at him as the point guard. But yeah, he was off the ball quite a bit and trying to do those back screens, but we'll see what happens moving forward.
I had a quick question just to see if I missed anything. Was Farmar hurt? Because I couldn't find a reason why he didn't play. But
it just showed coach's decision, but I don't know why that was made, if that was just cautionary for something. I didn't see anything either, and I looked, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No injury. I was online. I was on the wire. I was preoccupied with something, but I was on the wire while watching the game, and nothing came up about Farmar. I'm guessing it was just a coach's decision, like Joe said. But I know that Matt Barnes is dealing with something with his knee, and James Hamm tweeted that out during the game. That's why he didn't play. So
yeah, they said Barnes' knee was dinged in practice, and I know that's a professional medical term, so we're all well aware of exactly what that means. But yeah, he should be good by tomorrow. So you mentioned Garrett Temple. Let's get back to that. He played the most of any King with 24 minutes, shot a bunch. Do you think this is something that indicates how he's going to be used this year, how much he's going to be used, or just one of those preseason blips that show that they're trying to find out where he fits? John, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say with him, it's going to be a long process of finding out exactly where you want to play him. He got a lot of minutes. I don't know if he was necessarily anything special last night, but, I mean, you definitely saw a couple good looks from him. I like the idea of playing him with that second unit to get more ball handling in there, but overall it was all right. I mean, he plays a lot of different positions, so I see him needing quite a few looks before they really decide what they're going to do with him.
I have a big issue with the people saying that he looked terrible as a point guard yesterday. And I haven't been a huge advocate of him being a point guard, but if you're going to judge a guy for being the point guard on the team, you can't blame him from what the talent that was on the floor with him. I mean, Papianis couldn't hold onto the basketball on the initial pass. The guy who was blocking Tarik Black, who had an amazing night for the Lakers, by the way, that dunk that he was doing, whew, it was nice. He was out hustling Papianis, he was out muscling Papianis, and he was out muscling every time he was trying to grab the basketball. So he'd lose it, or you pass it to Scal, same thing. He lost the ball, he was fumbling. They're all Butterfingers. They keep eating their favorite candies before a basketball game. Stop doing that. But I think that there were times where you needed to see him be a little bit more aggressive, and it did seem like Temple was timid in this very first game. But, and John, I want to see if you agree with this as well, and Joe, you too, is that I think they're going to use Temple in like a majority of different ways or a ton of different possibilities. Like, you can see him at the three sometimes. You're going to see him be possibly at the three spot and then have a Aflalo and Gay and Cousins be able to post and rotate around while Collison's running around to get jumpers. And I think that's going to be something that you're going to see throughout the regular season, but I could be wrong. I know that a lot of people are just saying one and two, but I think you're going to see him quite a bit at the three as well. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I see him in all three of those roles very, very easily. There's so many ways that you can use him in a bigger lineup where you put him as the one, in a smaller lineup where you put him as the three. He fits. He fits a lot of different places. So, yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, so much of what he's going to do is also going to depend on what other guys do. If Aflalo and Ben struggle, he's obviously going to spend more time there. Depending on if we trade Rudy Gay early in the season, he may see a lot of time at the three. And then depending on how Lawson looks when he takes over point guard, presumably, to start the season, he may get a lot of time there. So I think he was signed to be a really good fill-in option in a lot of places, and if he's not needed to fill in that much, then he's probably just going to bounce around a lot and grab some good minutes at a bunch of different positions. So
we're going to nickname him Play-Doh because you can fit him anywhere.
Perfect, yeah.
See that joke, by the way, Vince? See that joke got a laugh? Your Butterfinger joke, for that, I'm punishing you. You get to do the first commercial break. So go ahead. Take it away, commercial guy.
All right, guys, we're going to pause the show right here to give a shout-out to our sponsor. Everyone, go to BrickHouseIndustries.com. Check out all of their apparel from hats, shirts, and socks. And when checking out, be sure to use promo code KingsCourt, and you will get a 10% discount on any of your purchases. Also, if you want to keep up to date with all of their new apparel that has to be coming out, they take pictures of it, and they send it out to all social media platforms on Twitter and on Instagram. Go follow them at BrickHouse_IND. Joe, back to you.
And now, your starting five for the Sacramento Kings. I am not nearly as good as Scott is at that, obviously, so I'm not going to quit my day job. But starting with the one spot, man, starting out there was Collison. I got kind of a two-part question for you guys. What did you think of his play last night against the Lakers, obviously? And second, with the suspension of the eight games, how do you think the Kings are going to do without him? I should have texted you guys earlier. I think you guys have it in front of you. The first eight games, Phoenix, San Antonio, Minnesota, Atlanta, Miami, Orlando, Milwaukee, and Toronto, and his first game back will be November 8th against the Pelicans? Yeah, against the Pelicans. So go ahead, Vince. What do you think about both of those?
To start off with the suspension, I mean, I think it was a lot lower than I expected it to be. It was right in your ballpark of that 5 to 10 games. I think the way he handled the media, I mean, I know that there was talks and rumblings coming out of media day that we kept hearing that everyone's starting to think about, oh, there's a minimum of 10 games. And we talked about it last week on last week's podcast about how the way he addressed the media, I think he presented himself as someone that's taking ownership of what he did. So I think eight games was good. As for how well the team will do without him, I think we have to see a lot more from the play of the other point guards, Jordan Farmar, Ty Lawson, Garrett Temple. And I think you're going to see more of Rudy Gay handling the ball as the preseason moves along as well. So I want to see how those guys do before I can give a complete judgment. But, I mean, just looking at some of those teams, I mean, the Miami Heat, there's no team to play around with. Minnesota is going to be an interesting team. San Antonio, the first game in Sacramento in the Goal 1 Center, I mean, that's going to be tough. Milwaukee looks tough, even though they lost Chris Middleton. I mean, you're going down the list, Toronto. That they have a hard schedule within those first eight games. If they can at least win, if they can steal three, they can steal three out of those eight, I think that's a good start for them. But I think that they have a better chance of succeeding even without Collison there because of who DeMarcus Cousins is and I think how they're going to be using him this season. Now to his play on the floor throughout the preseason game against the Lakers, I think you saw his biggest presence defensively and controlling the offense. I don't think he did too much. And I also don't think he did too little. I think he did exactly what he was supposed to be doing when he was on the floor, and that's dictating the offense, having Cousins come up. He was calling for the screens. He was calling out the play and being the man that was initiating the offense, even when the offense wasn't with him having the ball in his hands. So I think you're going to see more from him as the preseason continues, but I actually was very pleased with his performance, even though it didn't show up on the stat sheet.
John, same two questions. Against the Lakers, and how are the Kings going to do without him?
You know, you could definitely see that the Kings are going toward an offense that relies a lot less on a point guard, which is weird considering, it's not weird, like it's a bad decision, just weird to see and maybe a weird adjustment for people who have been there because of who Rondo is and how they ran it last season. You know, like you said, I think at one point there were 8 assists, I think, in the starting lineup, 4 of them for DeMarcus and 3 for Rudy Gay. So you kind of wonder if we can run an offense that isn't that reliant on the point guard. I don't know how much losing him is really going to matter early on. I mean, of course, you'd rather have him, and we're going to be better with him, but I don't know if it's going to be a huge drop-off where we can't win any games. Like Vince said, 3 would be great. There's a couple teams in there like Phoenix that I think we have a good shot against with or without him, and we need to win those games. So it's just going to be about playing smart basketball without him. And last night, he looks good. He looks a lot like what he's looked like the last 2 seasons, which is a good starting point guard. So I'm excited to have him back.
Definitely excited that I was right with the 8 games and it didn't go high and didn't go crazy. Yeah, I think 8 games is about right. Like I said before, 5 to 10. And I think 8 games, it's a nice little slap to his face to remind him not to do bad stuff. But at the same time, you know, he didn't commit a felony, so let's keep it right there. Perfect. Moving on to the Sacramento Kings starting 2-guard, Aaron Aflalo. I think he had the best game of the night when it comes to numbers and doing what he's supposed to do. So what are you guys' thoughts on that? John, you can go first.
Yeah, he had a good night, and I think he'll be solid. You know, it's always best to be a little cautious with preseason games and performances like this. I don't know if you guys remember that game last year where Marco Bellinelli scored like 32 or something like that. You know, the numbers don't always mean that much. I thought he looked definitely like weak link in the starting lineup defensively. But they have some good post-action going on with him and DeMarcus, so I like that, and it'll be interesting to see what they do going forward with him. But, you know, he doesn't seem to be physically capable of being that great of a defender, so it'll be curious to see how it goes moving forward, but I liked what I saw at the start.
Right on. Vince, thoughts?
He surprised me. I mean, I was tweeting about it all throughout the game, and he was surprising me. He actually didn't look as slow as I thought he would be. There were times where he actually did show what he used to be able to do on defense. I don't think that's going to sustain throughout an 82-game season, but he showed what he can do. I mean, he's a guy that can post, and what I thought was very interesting is when you had Cousins go up to the high post, you had Rudy Gay and Aflalo going down low and posting on Lou Williams, and I don't remember who was guarding Rudy Gay at the time during the starting lineup. I believe it was Lou Aldang, though. And you had them going back and forth, and if there was nothing there, they popped it back out. He had the ball-handling ability to bring it out to the 3 and reset. So, I mean, he had a very solid night. I mean, you definitely want to see more from him defensively, but he was moving his feet well. And like I said, I don't know if that's going to sustain for an 82-game season. I do think his best basketball days are behind him, but to have a starting shooting guard now, I think that's going to help the Kings moving forward. But at the same time, I will say that I think if Ben McLemore can start knocking down shots, he has the ability to take back his starting job. And I think that would actually be good for the Kings to have another person who can create shots and be a scorer for that second unit. But as of right now, I mean, I'm okay with it. And I thought it was really cool to see Cousins go up to the high post and have those options of other players setting up as post players.
See, I think he played well. Again, shooting well from behind the arc, played well in the post. He looked really good. And for a team that hasn't had a starting caliber shooting guard in a while, I think it looked pretty good. So moving forward to Rudy Gay, what did you see from Rudy during this game, effort-wise and basketball-wise? John, you can kick this one off.
You know, the 3 assists are promising. His passing numbers were way down last season. He's never been a great passer, but if you can get him going with Cousins, that just adds another look to your offense. You know, he, like many others in the starting lineup, appeared to be engaged and gave a good effort defensively. And so I liked what I saw. I think he's going to be, you know, as he's always been, a professional. He's going to come and he's going to do his best. You know, there's a lot of question about him, whether or not he'll re-sign and does he want to be traded or not. But I think until he either doesn't re-sign or gets traded, he's going to give 100% in Sacramento. So that's all you can ask.
Right on. I I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, he's a professional. He's playing for a contract. I don't think he's not going to give effort. So I saw it a couple times on different, you know, different people tweeting, different people talking on Facebook. So I just wanted to make sure what you guys' thoughts were on it. So, Vince, what's your cut on that?
I think he played Rudy Gay basketball. I think John hit it right on the head that it was good to see him get three assists early on. I mean, he only played, I believe, like 15 or 16 minutes against the Lakers. So it was a nice little sample size, but his assist numbers were down, and we all know why. One word, Rondo! So I think you'll see him be a little bit more engaged in the offense. As for effort-wise, I never was worried about Rudy Gay giving out as much effort as he could on a night-to-night basis. He's a true professional. He's a consummate professional. He's going to be able to come on the floor and do his job. As for his value, continue on. I mean, Joe, you and I talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I think this is my personal opinion, and John, I would love to get your thoughts on this because you weren't on the show when we did this podcast, but I do believe that Rudy Gay's value actually goes down as the season moves forward. If they're going to part ways with Rudy Gay, it has to be before the season starts, and that's my personal opinion on it. I do understand why they would go into the regular season with him, but John, do you think his value increases even if he plays well? Do you think, let's say he averages 20-4 and, you know, plays Rudy Gay basketball, do you think his value increases as the season goes on, or are you like me that no matter what, his value is decreasing this season?
I don't know about his value increasing. You know, of course it's going to decrease because you're going to get less of him. But I think as the season goes on, you'll have to wonder, like, you look at the Thunder, and they're probably going to throw out some sort of combination of Andre Roberson and, you know, Kyle Singler as a small forward. And as of right now, they may feel confident in that, but if they really find that they're just not getting enough offense from that two-man group and they need to add someone, then all of a sudden that urgency kicks in. And you can see them being willing to trade some of their young assets for a guy like Gay. So his value, maybe it won't go up or down. I think what you're going to look at is the urgency to get a guy like Gay. And, you know, you saw a lot last season where people made some big trades to get combo forwards at the deadline. And it's something that you won't really know you need him until you do. So a lot of teams are just really confident with what they have right now. I'd like to see them trade him early on if they're going to. You know, that's always better. But, yeah, in my opinion, I think he would be a good fit next to Cousins. But overall, they need to trade him because even if this team does well and we make it to the, you know, bottom of the playoffs this season, Gay's timeline is just not going to fit in with this team's timeline. He's too old at this point in the sense that we're looking to contend at the best for, you know, in the top of the playoffs in maybe like 2 to 3 years. And I just don't think he can be a big piece for a team in 2 to 3 years.
All right, guys, wrapping up with Rudy. Let's go ahead and move forward. The Kufis and Cousins thing, I'm going to go ahead and cover them at the same time because I think it's a big key that they did play together. I was kind of wondering, I mean, you guys already mentioned, or Vince anyway mentioned he was already surprised by it. I was going to ask, man, I thought I was the only one who was surprised to see it that way. But with Cousins in the high post, it really seemed like it could work, certainly better than it did last year. Did you see this being the starting big man going forward or just a early preseason test of the stretch five possibilities for the big man?
You know, I'm personally an advocate of moving on Kupis as soon as we can and just getting something for him. I don't see any reason that DeMarcus and Willie can't handle all the minutes at center. And when they're not at center, you can go small. We have so many guys that can take over at the forward spots, like, you know, Caspi, Gay, Barnes, Tolliver, even Scal if he proves that he can handle it. So I don't see any reason to give minutes to Kufis going forward. He's a really, really good backup center. So I'm sure there's teams out there that are going to want him. And, you know, I think the Kings need to look for a team early in the season that either has some really bad play from their center position or just has an injury that they need to cover for quickly. And, hopefully pounce on that opportunity. But I personally think there's such a big logjam at the forward spots that I'd like to see them move on from him. I don't know if he's a great fit next to Cousins. So.
No, I agree. And his contract is so sweet right now that, you know, when you look at a deal like Mozgov's, when you look at a guy like Kufas in comparison to that, the price tag, I think it adds a lot of value to him in a trade. So, but moving on, Vince, what are your thoughts on Kufas and Cousins playing together?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. I think the only reason why the Kings do it is because Kufas knows Jaeger's system from his time in Memphis, but I don't think it's necessarily a good fit either. I thought you saw what he could do, or what Cousins can do in the high post with Rudy Gay and Aaron Aflalo being able to be those postmen and not necessarily go to Kufas. So I like him as the backup. I do agree with John, though. I think that if you package him together with Rudy Gay and maybe even McLemore, if they're ready to move on from him and he doesn't show that much of improvement, I think there's teams out there that will go for his contract, that will go for a guy like Ben McLemore for the young potential that's still there in him, and a guy like Rudy Gay who can come in there and be Rudy Gay and give you those, you know, 18 points, those popcorn numbers a little bit, and help a team offensively. So I think you're going to see right around 15 to 20 minutes a night for maybe 15 to 18 minutes a night for a guy like Kufas, and I think that's right where he needs to be. But as a starting group, I mean, I'm wondering if the Kings would move toward that, but I sure hope not, because honestly, after seeing that high post offense in action, I'm actually okay with them retrying the Rudy Gay as the starting four at times.
I agree that there's a huge logjam in that area, and the value of all three of those guys that you just mentioned, not necessarily always in a package, again, because if a small forward somewhere that gets hurt, or they realize that they just need someone to cover, like you said before, John, you know, in a singular Roberson kind of world, there's a lot of options out there. But long story short, if they trade those guys early, there could be a big piece coming this way, and that looks pretty good. All right, for our second commercial of the day, I'm going to go ahead and promote ourselves a little bit here. So here I go. I am looking for people who want to advertise on this show. You can email me at jmorgan@sacksportsnation.com. If you're interested in talking about your business, talking about anything that you're doing, please contact me. We can talk about pricing. We can talk about how often we talk about you, whether you want to be on the website, whether you want to be on the podcast, both, whatever the case may be. Contact me again at jmorgan@sacksportsnation.com. Let's go ahead and break down the entire team as a unit. So the team as a whole looks pretty good on the defensive side of the ball. It's something we do not ever seem to hear here in Sacramento. I think that Jaeger's influence has been really positive there. I know there's no immediate turnarounds, obviously, in basketball. But were you guys as impressed as I was with the defensive effort? John?
Yeah, I definitely was. You could see them picking up really early, and it was pointed out a lot last year that the way that the defense was designed kind of also aided in making people look like they weren't giving them much effort. I would say that they definitely weren't at times, but it definitely fooled you a little bit in that sense. Last night, though, they looked really good. There was a lot less switching. People, it seemed to fit the role of all the different players that we had on the floor a lot better. So that's the biggest thing, is just that switching defense can be really good. You've seen a lot of teams recently take it on and do really great things with it. The Kings just clearly weren't a team built to do that. And so just the fact that we have a defense that even fits our roster is such a huge step in the right direction. And then you add in the clear effort increase last night, and, you know, that's a really promising end of the floor right now.
Vince, what did you see in the defensive side?
Yeah, I saw a lot of effort. I mean, you said you could be misconstrued by what happened last season, but the team just looked engaged on all fronts. Everyone was talking. There was a whole lot of less switches, and I was excited to see that. But I think that you have the talent on the floor now to where a player can match up and not have to switch, and I think that's a good sign. And I think that you're going to see that throughout the season. That there's going to be times, though, I still think you're going to see the team struggle and you're going to see a frustration. I think that's where DeMarcus Cousins' growth is going to come in, is he needs to be able to keep a cool head when everything is going wrong, because it seemed last night he was actually the defensive anchor down low and being able to match up. I mean, the way he recovered and got that block on Brandon Ingram's dunk, I mean, that was just that was true effort by DeMarcus Cousins just staying engaged. And I think the whole team was engaged throughout that entire first half, or at least those first couple quarters when the starters were in there. So I want to see what the second unit is as a whole and what roles they start defining as the preseason goes on. But yeah, I mean, the team was engaged, and I thought it was a good sign, especially in the very first preseason game. But I'm ready to see it get brought up tomorrow night or today when people are listening to it against the Golden State Warriors.
So I had a question about the bench, and we've already kind of beat that to death. So I'm going to move on, and I'm just going to ask, what did you guys see in Coach Yeager's coaching that really impressed you, didn't impress you, whatever? Just what were your thoughts on Yeager's coaching, Vince?
It seems like, just like I talked about the Kings defense, it looks like Dave Yeager is engaged. I mean, he was damn near half court trying to call a timeout just for the last minute so he can set up an inbound play and get that effort in, and it resulted in a Ty Lawson backdoor layup. So I think that's what you're seeing with Yeager, is you're seeing a young, energetic coach that is trying to get these guys to not only trust him, but to buy in to everything that he's saying and everything that he's doing. And he has the resume to show why they need to believe in him. And now he's giving out the effort just as much as they are on the floor and staying engaged just as much as the players are on the floor. And I think you saw that even in a preseason game with Yeager. So I'm very impressed with his very first game.
Right on, John. How about you, the Coach Yeager coaching question?
Yeah, I would agree with everything that he just said and add on the fact that it seemed like he was really committed to making sure that people stayed engaged and stayed focused on what the plan was. Every time they sort of deviated from that, you could tell he wasn't afraid to take a timeout and sort of regroup and establish what they're trying to do. Because at the end of the day, I mean, as you saw, winning clearly wasn't important. What was important is getting everything right, getting the right mindset going, and trying to figure out what everyone has. And I'd say he did a really good job of balancing all of that.
So on the message boards yesterday, on Twitter, on Facebook, on all the different places that I'm watching during a game, everybody was dying over the loss. They were screaming, oh, we were up 19. Oh, the Kings had this, the Kings had that. You kind of just hit it, but I want to clarify this with everybody. Vince, what are your thoughts about preseason scores?
It matters just as much as summer league scores. It doesn't matter at all.
So improvement is what you're looking for. Improvement, style of play, coaching ability, not the score. How about you, John?
Obviously, during the regular season, the starters would have come back in the third quarter, shut the door. And even after that, you wouldn't have seen some of the lineups we saw. You know, that's just not how you would have coached a game you cared about winning. And so that's a perfect example of why you just really shouldn't care if we get blown out or if we blow someone else out. If someone looks bad, then that matters. But, you know, as far as what happened last night, I'd say it all was pretty encouraging.
Yeah, it's like blaming a kid for not knowing math while you're teaching it to him. This is a brand new roster learning a brand new system, and you're getting mad that they don't already know it or that they're playing poorly when you have three rookies and two subpar starter or subpar NBA players out there at any given time. You're going to lose.
It was the Kings' third string against the Lakers' starters.
I hope
the Lakers can come back from 19.
Yeah, exactly. Because if they can't, then they should be the bad guys playing against the Globetrotters. So, all right, guys, let's move on to our final thoughts. It's time to wrap the show up. Vince, what are your final thoughts? Anything else that we missed, saved rounds, and where can the people find you online?
I'm actually going to pause the show right here, Joe, and not for a commercial break, but we're going to have our very first Kings Week segment, and I'm queuing up the music right now. Go!
Give the people what they want.
Back to the future!
And here we go.
All right, guys, so it's the Golden State Warriors up tonight when all the fans are listening to this show. So Golden State just destroyed the Los Angeles Clippers by like 45 points, and it was just ridiculous. And the reason why I'm doing this Kings Week segment is to remind you guys what this Kings Week segment is. And there is going to be a bet that follows this, but I just want to get you guys remembering the music. And by you guys, I mean the listeners now. Is I want you guys to remember the music, because when you guys hear this song, that means we're going to start predicting games. And at the end of it, whoever gets the most games wrong, that person has to do a challenge that you guys will be voting on. But Joe, I'll throw it to you, the host of the show now. You hear that the Warriors are coming to town, and they just blew out the Los Angeles Clippers. We saw what Kevin Durant can do in that video game lineup that is the Golden State Warriors. What are you expecting?
Oh, man, this is – I hate to even say these things out loud because guessing at a preseason game is really horrible because you never know what lineup they're going to throw out. You know, are they going to use their starting five guys, and are they going to play the whole game, or are they going to play their second string starting out just to see how they come out? It's so hard to guess. But I'm going to throw my guess out there. I think the Warriors win by 20.
John?
Well, I guess I'll start with – guessing that we'll do at least better than the Clippers did. But, I think we lose by, let's say, around 25. I don't know if the Warriors are going to play the starting lineup that much, but if they do, it could be a lot worse than that.
If the starters play, I have the Sacramento Kings losing by 35 points. If the starters play and they play just as much as they did against the Clippers, they're losing by 35 points. God, I don't think there's anybody on this team.
I did not think I'd be the most optimistic person saying they'd lose by 20. That is not how I expected that to go. Oh,
no, they're
boy.
Losing by like 35 points. Like this Warriors team, they just beat the Clippers that have Chris Paul, who can guard Steph, Blake Griffin, who's a player that can get you popcorns out, and DeAndre Jordan to block the rim, and they just had no one to stop their shooting. This Kings team, yes, they look better defensively. Oh, my goodness. Great. This team is going
to
be
– the Kings' fifth man to win this game needs to be Tonya Harding.
I honestly want the – I want the Kings to try their hardest to win this game, though. Like, I want DeMarcus Cousins to just try and scare them because they have no big man. Like, DeMarcus Cousins should do what he did against Charlotte and just get the ball and dunk every time. Like, do whatever you got to do to score because I think you can – that's barbecue chicken down there. I don't even care if it's Draymond.
I'll tell you this.
That's barbecue chicken down there.
If we were going to have a Kings Week segment, my answer would have been we should have picked a FanDuel player from the game. And my answer to that is pick up DeMarcus Cousins tomorrow – or tonight if you're listening. Because, again, like you just said, Vince, there's nobody to stop him there.
Yeah, and I think another thing to remember is that the Warriors may have wanted to make somewhat of a statement against the Clippers, being that a lot of people expect the Clippers to be number two in the West, and the Clippers are going to try and compete with the Warriors this season. The Kings, I haven't seen many people predict them being number two in the West, and I don't think I would predict that myself. So they may not be that interested in playing their starters, and, you know, like Vince said, the Kings may want to go out and try and play their starters more, knowing that they're going to have to play against a lot better competition than they did in the first game. So it may be more worth it to have guys out there for more extended looks and try and deal with that. So, you know, we may do a little better than I predicted, but
If the Kings win, I'll drop and give you guys 10 push-ups. If the Warriors starters are getting minutes, I'll drop and give you guys 10 push-ups on the next show. Live. See, no, I'll even answer a question while doing the push-ups.
That's a weak bet.
That's how serious I am. If this Warriors team plays their starters just as half the minutes that they did, I mean, I just don't know anyone that's going to stop this team. Like, this team is just ridiculously good when they're on fire. They're a video game lineup. I hate playing people on 2K with that lineup, but DeMarcus Cousins has the ability to just say, hey, give me the ball in the post, and I'm scoring it, and then it's going to be relying on the other guys to knock down open jump shots because they're going to have to triple team him because there's no way Zaza stopping him, no way Draymond Green stopping him. DeMarcus Cousins, if you're listening to this show, which I hope you are, that's barbecue chicken down there. Go eat, big boy. That's going to be a nice game. If I have to choose a winner, I'm going to still go with the Golden State Warriors. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody doesn't pick the Warriors on that. It's just a matter of the over-under. Vince, you never told everybody where they can find you online.
You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of @VMCenter and here on SatKingsNation.com. Also, every Tuesday and Thursday, and it will actually turn into a weekly show, over at hoop-ball.com. Me and John, we work over there, and I'm actually hosting a Fantasy NBA Today podcast and a Fantasy NBA Tonight podcast that you can watch live on YouTube. Go on YouTube.com, type in HoopBall in the search engine. Look for that HoopBall logo and go subscribe there. We have a new show coming out today when you guys are listening to it on Thursday. And yeah, you guys can get all of your guys' fantasy insight on Fantasy NBA today.
I asked him for his final thoughts. He gave us a whole segment. So, John, what are your final thoughts, and where can the people find you online?
My final thoughts, it'll be fun to see how we can do against the Warriors. I don't think we'll do well, but it'll be fun to see how we match up against a much better roster. And I'm only on Twitter, at John Schifferly, pretty easy, just my name. Yeah, I think that's all I have.
Wait, Joe, do not end this show. Do not end this show. John Schifferly, I have a bone to pick with you, sir. I have a question that you need to answer live on this show. I gave you some homework. I gave you some homework. You know what the homework was. Did you do your homework?
The homework was to watch a movie.
What movie?
I'll try and watch it this weekend.
Dang it, John. Dang you, John. I don't know. You're just not going to be on the show anymore. Dang you. Do your homework.
You know, my coworker said it was good, so.
It's a great movie. Joe, just end the show. I'm just getting irritated.
They specifically said it was good.
Just end the show, Joe. I'm getting irritated.
Oh, good Lord. All right, boys and girls. you guys have thrown me so far off again. That is all for this show. We want to thank Brickhouse Industries for the sponsoring. And remember SackKingsNation.com and the Kings Court Podcast for all your Kings news every single day. This is Sack Sports Morgan signing off.